Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm this afternoon, and pray that you will bless our hearts, that we might realize of those things which we receive from you, that we might receive them with thanksgiving, that we might give you praise and glory of them, and realize, Lord, that all things are from your hands. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this psalm this afternoon, it only has 5 verses to it. And so it's going to be a short psalm for sure, but something that we can see here as being a psalm of great blessing. In fact, we find that this psalm has inspired people to write upon the very subject of thanksgiving many times, and is affectionately known as the, quote, Old Hundredth Psalm, in the sense that this psalm is a psalter which has been sung first, perhaps around 1551, that is, put to a certain tune, and has been used in our hymnal as the Old Hundredth. And we find, of course, that it was sung by the Jewish people in the temple. And it was a psalm of praise and a psalm to call them to worship and to give glory unto Jehovah. It is a psalm that goes beyond the narrow confines of Israel, that is, of simply applying it to Israel, as we recognize that this psalm can be said or thought about or meditated upon, and just about all people can relate to the kinds of things which are being said here in this psalm. The idea of this psalm, of course, is praise. Praise that pertains to God and to how God blesses us. And it is an appropriate psalm for all people, in the sense that they can sing this psalm or say this psalm, and they can appreciate the God of heaven and earth, who did make all things and brought all things into existence. And so we look at this psalm, and in these five short verses, that they are simple, we might say, in the sense of the outlaying of them. But there are some words which we find here in the psalm, the words of thanksgiving, which are truly words which we ought to bring to our hearts. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And so the idea of thankfulness is involved in this lifting up of those words unto God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so this word thanksgiving is a prominent word which follows upon this antiphonal recital, if you will, these words which are to bring to our hearts the attention that we might give thanks to God. And we also note that the word everlasting is used in verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Thanksgiving and everlasting. When we come to that word, we begin to reflect upon those things which God bestows upon us as we begin to recognize God and of His love and mercy and grace unto us, His eternal provisions for us. And the thanksgiving of our lips then becomes that those things which might pour out unto God, and we realize that His mercy unto us is an everlasting mercy. It is everlasting. And then the next word that we see here, which is kind of a key word in this psalm, is the word generations. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. And so we have a sense of inclusiveness within this, that God is being held up and extolled as that God whom we are to give thanks to, because He is the God of thanksgiving, the God whom we are to give thanks to. He is God that extends His mercy in an everlasting way to us, and He is God unto all generations, unto all generations. And so the language is quite simply stating some things about God that we should always remember. We should always remember to give thanks to God. We should always remember that His mercies are everlasting mercies unto us. We should always remember that His mercies are poured out to us and unto all generations of those who call upon Him. And so these things are a reminder. And we learn, too, that in the simple aspect of this psalm, that these psalms carry, or this psalm in particular, carries with it a great host of truth that is very plain, it's very factual, and it is a definite pattern of a psalm that calls one to worship. That calls one to worship. And so as we see here in verse 1 and 2, why should God be worshipped, that is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. And so the call to worship, why God should be worshipped, comes down to verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Why should we worship Him then? Well, we find it right in verse 3. He is God. He is the Lord. He is God. We should worship Him then. And we should also take particular note that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He has created us. And so, therefore, we are His people. We are His sheep. And we are the sheep of His pasture. He is God, He has created us, and we are His sheep. We are His people. We should then worship God. For not to do so would be to deny God. And so it is then that we should worship God. It is therefore a call to worship. Verse 4 again. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. It is a call to worship. You can imagine as the Levites might have been singing this psalm in the antiphonal way and coming up to the temple and worshiping God, they were entering into the gates and they were singing this psalm, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Giving glory and praise unto God, they entered into His gates, they entered into those courts, and they did lift up their voice with thanksgiving and with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And we can just hear those words kind of re-echoing through the temple. As they began to sing these words over and over again with great harmony and voice and uplifting. Be thankful unto Him. Be thankful unto Him. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. And again, they might begin to sing the psalm again with such voice and such melody, singing and playing upon the harp and upon the psaltery, and singing this song, this hymn of thanksgiving unto the Lord. It was a call to worship. Why God should be worshipped is shown to us in verse 5, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so we have this sense of call to worship, and we have this sense of why God should be worshipped. Because he is a good God. He is a God who loves his people. He is a God who watches over his people. He is a God who answers prayer for his people. He is a God who blesses his people. He is a God who is merciful to his people. He is a God who shows grace unto his people. He is a God full of loving kindness and tender mercies unto his people. He is a God of all generations that call upon him. And when we reflect upon the Lord and upon these things of which we are reminded of, then we give joy and thanksgiving unto the Lord. And so it is that these elements of worship are brought out. Verse 1, shout for joy. That's what the first verse says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. When we think of joy, and we kind of acquaint it with elation, as we are somewhat elated. As we sing, we may acquaint it also with a certain tone that we are bringing forth. And as we sound those words out and sing unto the Lord, there is a certain gladness or happiness or joyfulness in those words which we sing. And so the whole tenor of this psalm is to be joyful. It's not mournful, but joyful. Glad. Rejoicing. Happy. For God is the God of heaven and earth. God is God, and he loves his people. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And God blesses us as his people. And we should be joyful and happy in this. Serve the Lord with gladness. We should come to the Lord not only with a sense of joyfulness when we come and sing unto him, but we should come with a sense of duty and privilege. We will serve the Lord with gladness. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And so we are his servants. We come to do the work of the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. Each day is to be a day of service unto God. How can I serve the Lord today? How can I give joy and rejoicing in what I do unto the Lord? Let me sing and praise God for those things which he has done. Let us be glad and serve the Lord. Let us come before the Lord this day and come into his presence with singing. With singing. And again, we think of singing as those that joyful note which we uplift unto the Lord. Perhaps you have days when you just love to sing and you're kind of standing in front of the sink, maybe doing your dishes and kind of singing a little song to yourself. Or maybe you're driving along the road in the car and you have a song in your heart. You kind of have a little song that you're singing unto the Lord. Or maybe you're out working somewhere and doing something and you have a song that you can sing unto the Lord. Or maybe you have a song in the night when you can't sleep and there's a hymn that begins to come up in you. Maybe even you have asked the Lord, give me a song in the night that I might sing to you tonight. And then the Lord brings a little song to you. You might say, well, I don't sing. I'm a terrible singer. I couldn't carry a tune in a basket. But it doesn't matter, because it is that gladness of your heart and rejoicing in your soul that you want to express to the Lord. And we must come before the Lord with a sense of service and a sense of gladness and come before Him with singing. And these things are very important to our worship before God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. As we see this one, then, we come into His house. As we come into His house, we're thankful. Maybe you've seen some people come into the house of the Lord and they're grumbling. You know, kind of grumble all the time. You see their face and you just know they're in a bad mood and they're just a grumbler. And you might try to encourage them a bit and try to lift their spirits just a little bit. But when you come into the house of the Lord, shouldn't we be thankful? Shouldn't we want to sing? Shouldn't we want to rejoice? Shouldn't we want to lift up our praise to God? Yes, we should. We should. We should try to say, Lord, just clear my mind and help me to think on those things that are more holy and true and lovely in Christ this day. Help me to think on those things. And get my mind off from those little petty things in the world that just seem to crop up all the whole time. Give me that joyful song. Help me to enter in with thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then we'll find joyfulness in the things that we do. And so these elements of worship are important. The element of joyfulness, the element of gladness, the element of singing, the element of giving thanks. What's the next one we see here in verse 4? Praise. Praise. Now we might say, well, some of these things, they seem to be overlapping just a little bit. Well, that's true. That's true. They do kind of. We're joyful, we're singing, we're thankful, and now we're in the spirit of praise. Spirit of praise. I bet if I stopped right here and asked you to praise God for something, well, it'd probably take you 5 hours to think of one. That was a joke. No, it should only take us just a few minutes, right? Just a couple of minutes. We could think of something to praise God for, couldn't we? But usually it is like 5 hours. We're usually thunderstruck. I say, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. But there's so many things we could praise God for, isn't there? So many things. For our salvation. We could begin there and have a lot to say. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I don't know why you saved me, Lord, but you saved me. You brought me into your family and I know you as my Savior. And no matter how bad things seem to be around me, when I reflect upon my salvation in Christ, Lord, I'm thankful. I just praise you for that. Because you saved me. I was lost and now I am found. I've been brought into the family of God. Every time when I come into the family of God with other believers, it's a joyful time for me to be there. The one thing that hurts me most about coming into a church family is when I don't feel that spirit of other believers being there with me. And maybe you've been in some churches like that. You went into a church and it's kind of like you were sitting amongst a bunch of strangers. Nobody had anything to say to you. There wasn't a word of praise or testimony. No songs in their heart. No rejoicing in their spirit. No one saying that they also was a believer and you felt like, what are these people? I don't know if any of these people are saved. But I hope when you come to a church family that you know, like this one, you just know, everyone that's here says in their heart, I'm a believer. I love the Lord. I'm here every week because I know the Lord Jesus and I trusted Him as my Savior. And I love the Lord and I'm thankful. Yeah, we need to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, to have praise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord for all that He has blessed me in. Be thankful unto him. This is the next one, again, in verse 4. We've mentioned this already, but these are part of the elements of worship which we bring before God. Thankfulness. We praise him. We're thankful unto him. We're joyful. We are glad. We come with singing. We come with thankfulness. In thanksgiving, we come with praise, and we thank him. We personally thank him. I suppose there's a slight difference in coming with thanksgiving and saying, Lord, I thank you. One seems just a bit more personal than the other. In that, we might collectively be giving thanks to God through a song that we sing. We might collectively be doing it, offering thanksgiving unto God. But then when we come down and say, I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Or I thank you, Lord, for giving me the word of God and the understanding of it. I thank you, Lord, for showing me this truth. I thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for guiding me and directing me. I thank you, Lord, that I can pray to you and know that you hear me when I pray. I thank you, Lord, for the joyfulness of my heart. Even when others are not joyful, even when circumstances in my life are not joyful, I can still be joyful in Christ. I can still be thankful in Christ. I can still thank you, Lord. Even when everything else is not right, Lord, you are right. And I can take my thankfulness in you. Thankful. And then the last one we see here is bless his name. And in this, I just can't help but thinking about Psalm 103, just a page over from here. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And, of course, it goes on. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless his name. How do we bless the name of God who is infinite and wise, all-powerful and all-knowing, and everywhere present? How do we bless God who is above all and through all and in you all? By giving him those things of worship which we need to do to acknowledge him. That's how we bless his name. We bless his name in those things that I have mentioned, in the joyful spirit which we bring before him. We bless his name in the gladness that we can come with when we come to worship. We can bless him in singing, realizing that our singing is a part of entering into worship before the Lord. We can bless him in collectively having a spirit of thanksgiving unto the Lord in our worship. We can bless him in praise as we praise and lift up our hearts to God and give thanks to him. We can bless him in our thankfulness as we are thankful unto him in our personal lives, in those things that he blesses us in. We can thank him and praise him and bless his name in all these things. And so we should praise him because of who he is, as he is our Lord. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah God. And we recognize also he is Jesus, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord that we know personally. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we should praise him because of who he is. He is our Lord, our Master. He is God. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We should praise him because he is God. He is the Elohim. He is God. He is Yahweh, Jehovah God. He is the one true and living God. He is our God, and not a false God, but a true and living God. He is Creator, verse 3. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. He is Creator. He is Lord. He is God. He is Creator. And so He has created us after His image and after His likeness. And we are designed to worship Him and to give glory unto Him. He is the one that excuse me. He is the one that owns us. He hath made us and not we ourselves. We belong to Him. Excuse me. Of course, many people kind of think that they are their own God. But the truth of the matter is, He hath made us. We did not make ourselves. And so He owns us. And so, as we view in the New Testament concerning our very bodies and spirit, that we belong to God who made us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. God owns us as His believers. He is Lord, He is God, He is Creator, He is owner, He is shepherd. Verse 3 again. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep. We are His sheep. Because He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. And so we find that we need a shepherd. The sheep need shepherds. Probably go by the little farm by the river here every Sunday like we do. The little sheep out there. Judy says, how come there's always one black sheep among the... There's one black sheep out there. How come there's only one black sheep? I don't know. Maybe you've seen that picture. I can't remember who painted it, but it's a little classic picture of Jesus as the shepherd of the sheep. And He has all these sheep around Him. There's always one little black sheep over here somewhere. Just outside the fold, or on the edge of the fold. You kind of equate Him, you know, with that typical saying, the black sheep of the family. You know, He's just kind of out there a little bit. Maybe each of us relate to that black sheep some way or other. Do you ever feel like maybe you're the little black sheep once in a while? And you don't always do everything you should. And the Lord has to take His little crook and kind of bring you back closer in. You're just on the edge of the fold sometimes and not in the cluster as you ought to be under the shepherd's care. But He hasn't forgotten you, by the way. He's still right there. That little black sheep is still right there, and the shepherd is still watching the little black sheep just like He's watching the other sheep. And He is the shepherd of the sheep. So no matter whether you relate yourself to the black sheep or the white sheep, Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. And we can be very thankful for that. We should praise Him because of His attributes. He is Lord, He is God, He is Creator, He is owner, He is shepherd. And He loves us and cares for us. He is good, verse 5. For the Lord is good. He is good. Well, the idea of God being good is much, much different than you and I as being good. He is, we might say, very good. Where we are very bad. This adjective is used in the widest sense. It's used likewise as a noun, both in the masculine and in the feminine. The singular and the plural, good, a good, or good thing, a good man or woman, the good, goods or good things, good men or women, and adverbially as well, beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, fair, favor, fine, glad, good deed, gracious, joyful, kindly, kindness, like, loving, merry, pleasant, pleaseth, pleasure, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, welfare, and favored. In other words, in the widest sense of the word, God is good to us in all things. In all things. You know, we might be kind of good in one thing. Maybe you make good biscuits. But maybe pies you don't do so good at. Or maybe, you know, some of you men are good at mechanics. But if you had to sew a button on your shirt, you would look like the house that Jack built. You might not be too good at sewing buttons on your clothes. Or if you had to put a zipper in, and a lot of people don't like zippers at all, and I don't even want to think about putting a zipper in. I don't know what it would look like. But God is good in everything. God is good in everything. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no shadow of turning. God is always good. No variableness. No shadow of turning in God. He is always good. In the widest sense possible, God is good. I see that's something to be thankful for. Something to be thankful for. And so it is the goodness of God which leadeth us to what? Repentance? Yeah, there's something that's good. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. He is merciful, he is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And we'll close with that. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The word endureth is supplied, so you could read it without it. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth to all generations. His truth to all generations. His truth is always good. It is an everlasting, absolute truth to all generations. And so we have much to be thankful for. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you that you are such a loving God. We thank you that your goodness is a good which is to be viewed in the widest possible sense. In everything, you seek to do good unto your people. And we thank you, Father, that the goodness of God leads us to repentance, that we might come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this day, for the joys and rejoicing of it. Thank you for the opportunity of lifting up our praise to you. Thank you that we have the privilege of expounding upon your word. Thank you, Father, that God the Holy Spirit puts within our hearts such thoughts of you, Lord, that we might give praise and thankfulness unto you. We glorify you, for it is in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.